This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3040 for Friday the 27th of March 2020. Today's show is entitled, Why Use New Auto Tools? It is hosted by Klaatu, and is about 29 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, 6 good reasons you should be using a build system.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
You're listening to Hacker Public Radio. My name is Klaatu, and this episode is going to sell you, I hope, on GNU Auto Tools. What is GNU Auto Tools? The shortest way to convey what that is the famous incantation .configure make install. If you've read about that, if you've maybe performed that process yourself, then you know right away what GNU Auto Tools is. You may not understand what it does exactly, but you know that you've used it. Or anyway, that's how Auto Tools manifests itself. What it really is to you as a possible software developer. And if you don't think of yourself as a software developer, then maybe you, any kind of software that you have written, like whether it's a bash script or a Python script or a little GUI or anything that you're working on, or if you intend to get there someday, then Auto Tools is something that you actually might want to look at sooner than later. It really is a really useful system. Now, it's not the only system. So in a way, if there's some other build system that you happen to know is more appropriate to your requirements, so, in other words, if you are in fact writing a Python application, then possibly make the GNU Auto Tools. Maybe that isn't the best system for you, and maybe the better choice would be the Python packaging system. Or if you're developing in Java, then maybe you want to use Ant or whatever the case may be. I invite you to continue to listen to this episode and to interpret, when I say Auto Tools, GNU Auto Tools, hear something else. Hear Python, pip, easy install, whatever they call it, easy setup, whatever they call it. Hear Ant, whatever. So in very broad terms, this is an episode about using a build system over not using a build system. And I think that's applicable to a lot of what we do, actually. And I'm gonna tell you why. That's the point of this episode. I'm gonna tell you exactly my thoughts on this subject. And the reason it's about GNU Auto Tools rather than one of those other systems is because I don't use those other systems. I'm eager to learn them. I have not yet learned them. GNU Auto Tools is what I got, and it's what I'm selling you on. All right, so that's what Auto Tools is. You know the commands, you know it's a build system, but what does that really mean? Well, Dan Washko of the Linux Link Tech Show once said, and I don't even know if he would remember this, but he did once say a long time ago that, quote, or approximate quote, Linux does have a universal packaging format. It's called Auto Tools. He said that. I don't remember if it was just a comment that he made in IRC or if he said it on a podcast. I just don't remember. He said it and it made an impression on me even then, because I thought, well, that's a really good point. Like with open source software, because the source code is there, there kind of is a universal way to make the application install on a computer. And that is, if the developers used it, Auto Tools. Now there are arguments against that because, well, it's letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. People are really saying we need a universal packaging format such as Flatpak or Snap or RPM or something like that that all Linuxes use, and there's no doubt that if something is put onto Linux, it will run. So that's a different conversation, but the technicality is still worth noting, and that is when you have the source code, the ability to build it is very, very significant. And so GNU Auto Tools and any kind of build system that is kind of made official like that, there is a system by which everyone can build the source code reliably and in a way that they can repeat. So in other words, you build it on your development machine, and then you package it up and send it away, and then there's every expectation, because you've used this build system, that someone else can run the same 3 commands that you ran to build the thing and end up with the same kind of structure and number of files and types of files that you produced. And the nice thing about that, having this standardized way of building software, more or less from the beginning, like if you structure your software project around auto tools, then you have that standard method of building, and it all sort of works as expected for you and for your users and for packagers. And so there's a structure there, right? I mean, that a structure is a thing that exists, and you know the layout. So I'm trying to say the word sort of like, or the concept of restrictions or constraints, and that makes it sound like a bad thing. But if you think about the alternative, which is just write your own shell script that sort of takes all the software and maybe it builds it if it has to be compiled, or maybe it just puts it into the right directory and then copies it into your user's computer, onto your user's computer, onto your user's file system, and so on. You can do that. And in fact, I would say that in terms of ease of, you know, initial getting started sort of with auto tools, there's a big incentive not to get started with auto tools. It's not a super easy system to learn necessarily. I mean, it's not by any means impossible, but it's a new system. It's things that you have to learn. And to a new developer or to a hobbyist developer, that's a tough sell, because I mean, you spent, you know, 3, 5, 10, 20 years learning Bash, and you feel really good about it now. You're just getting started with Bash, you know, actual scripts that are very useful, and so you think, well, I know Bash, so surely this auto tools thing will be pretty much the same, right? It's from, they're both GNU on the tin. That's GNU and GNU. Okay, so it's got to be similar. It looks mostly similar. It's totally not similar. It's totally different. Sorry. So you have to learn like auto tools now, and wouldn't it just be easier to resort to a quick Bash script that would collect the files that you know that need to be put onto your user's computer and then just put them on there, and that'd be finished. And you could do that too. You could do all kinds of clever checks to make sure that you're dealing with the kind of system that you think you're dealing with, and so on. It would all work, but it's now you've got everything available to you there. It's sort of like you're now looking out into the void or into undiscovered country, whereas previously, you've been in the other scenario, you've got auto tools, and it's a known quantity, and that seems like a really weird benefit, but it can actually be really, really useful, because the process of installing software, you know, of copying software from one place to another, isn't actually that complex. It can be because of the variables of the system and so on, but the concept of it is pretty simple. And so you don't really need all that space. You don't need that big undiscovered country in front of you. That's not something that's useful to you as someone who just wants to copy some files onto your user system. There's a bunch of boring, stupid stuff that you have to do to check to see what kind of file system it is, and see, just make sure where everything is installed, make sure you got the libraries that you need, and so on. All this ridiculous kind of checking that you might have to do, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have to reinvent that wheel. Trust me, it's not worth it. That's not a good use of your time. Let auto tools handle that for you, so you don't have to reinvent the process. And it's almost guaranteed that when you reinvent the process, you're going to forget something. You're going to reinvent it poorly, because auto tools has been around for a long time. People have already found all the annoyances about it. Have they fixed them? Well, maybe not all the annoyances. Have they fixed the bugs? Yeah, a lot of them. So AutoTools is time-tested, and that little shell script that starts out as a quick, really quick, easy 6-line shell script, and then it becomes a 12-line shell script because you realize that on any other system other than your development system, there's other things that need to be done, so you'll just add a couple of quick little conditionals. It's going to be a really quick thing. It's just another 6 lines. It just doubles the size of the file. Not a big deal. It's a small file. And then suddenly you distribute that, and then suddenly you get reports back. Oh, by the way, you totally discount the fact that on this platform it's completely different. So okay, now you've got 24 lines of code, and it, after that it's certainly done, not a problem. And then you get another report, and suddenly it's a 48 line script that's doing a bunch of checks, and a little, and now you've got to set some variables depending on what what you discover about the host system, but those variables need to go into the actual code. So now you have to build an infrastructure to change the actual code that's going to be compiled, and it goes all over the place. In other words, you just develop. Now you're a developer of a build system, and that's not what you set out to do. That was not the goal. You were just trying to develop this little helpful script that you found useful and thought other people might find useful as well, if only they could install it. Use AutoTools. None of that will happen. You will struggle to learn AutoTools for a day, 2 days, 3 days, a weekend, whatever. And then you'll have figured it out, at least for that one project, if nothing else. And you'll be able to release your project and people can build it reliably without any problem, because AutoTools, that's what it does. Okay, so that's one big reason right there, is just that AutoTools has been standardized, it is reliable, it is robust. That's the reason. Because AutoTools. Because AutoTools is AutoTools, okay? That's one reason. Next reason, consider this reason number two, is because AutoTools hooks into, or rather it is hooked into, a bunch of other packaging systems. So AutoTools is cool and all, and I kind of get the feeling that at one point that it literally was a packaging system. Like, you want to install some extra software on, I don't know, your Solaris box back in 1993? Well, guess what? Your options are a makefile and you get to build it. Or you know, if someone was clever and used GNU AutoTools, then your option was run, configure, make install, and now it's installed. And if you get tired of it and want to uninstall it, then you have to do a make uninstall, and then it's gone. It's off of your system, and that was the packaging system. Obviously, people found that a little bit cumbersome if they installed one thing that relied on another, and then they had to rebuild the thing because it needed a newer version, and so on and so forth, and that's why we have package management systems today. But at one time, that's what the make system, or rather AutoTools, and things like it, those were, you know, considered packaging systems. And I mean, to this day, we have BSD with the port system, which is just a big collection of make files. So it's a valid system. But what I'm going to say here, and BSD ports is not exclusive to this, is that other packaging systems take advantage of and leverage AutoTools. They know that AutoTools is a system to build software. They know what to expect out of AutoTools. They know that AutoTools is generally pretty reliable and predictable. So a lot of times, if you go to build, for instance, if you just go to build a quick RPM, you just need to do a quick RPM. You will be so happy if you download the source code and find that it uses GNU AutoTools. I know, I've been there, I've been the person who is happy about it. It feels so good, because that RPM, that could have been a 35-line spec file with a bunch of different macros and a bunch of directives, it becomes like maybe a 12-line spec file. Okay, 12 is probably pretty low. Let's say, I don't know, 15, 20 line, whatever. But it's super simple. Like all those basic macros that you find on like how to build an RPM kind of search results, all of those, you just plug them in. You're just like, okay, here's the source, here's the name of the package, here's the version, here's the build directive, here's the install directive, here's what I installed. It's just bang, 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 easy, no-brainer. You just see that it's GNU AutoTools, and you tell the RPM spec file, okay, run AutoTools. And you're basically done. Same goes for a Debian package, a Slack build, a Flatpak. All of these things, all of these major, these sort of big make, or these big packaging formats that are out there, they know what to do with GNU AutoTools. Now, again, I don't want to make this episode too much about the magic of GNU AutoTools specifically, because it's not necessarily only about GNU AutoTools. These build systems also recognize other common build programs. So, you know, like your pips and your ants and your gems and I don't know, Grail and all these other things. Like, yeah, they know what to do with those, and that's great, and that's very cool. And so, in other words, the idea here is to use a packaging system. Do not use, or use a build system rather. Do not use your own standard or your own sort of off the cuff invented shell script. You can, but it makes the process of packaging your application potentially a little bit more laborious. And part of the idea of open source, part of the advantage of open source, is that you don't have to be the person to go and build your software or package up your software for all the different platforms. I mean, realistically, you can't be. I mean, you can be, because you could do it, and then you could automate it, and it would all be done, and that's great. That's a wonderful newish kind of, you know, all the building automation things that exist nowadays. That's really cool. But you shouldn't really necessarily have to be the one to do all that, ideally. There are people out there looking for software to package, and it makes it easier for them to contribute to your project if you use something that just gets plugged into something else. It's just, you know, use that standard plug design so that they can connect it to their device. That's a pretty good analogy, I thought. I just thought of that right off the top of my head. Okay, so another good reason to use, that was reason number two, just because other things plug into it or can accept a plug from that, so it talks to other things. Huge advantage as well is that AutoTools is, and I might be cheating now. I mean, those were really the two big reasons. Well, actually, you know what? So I'm going to move this one up here in my little list. So there's the third reason that I really truly have is it makes versioning of your software and adapting the code of, you know, the actual source code of your project really, really easy. And this is actually kind of what turned me on to AutoTools eventually. Like, because I avoided AutoTools just like you are. I figured, I know shell scripting, I can do this. This is easy. I'll just roll my own little installers. Because, I mean, frankly, I couldn't figure out AutoTools. It's not an easy system, and I'm going to explain it in a future episode. I will explain AutoTools to you so that maybe you'll have a leg up. But I avoided it for a while, and the thing that finally kind of drew me in was the ability to set variables that would then be assigned a value in the thing that gets built for distribution. So in other words, a lot of times for a version, I would just in a shell script, I would have version equals, and then there's the version number, and maybe that version gets called by something else, or in a Python application, it would be in the about section, and then before building, I would have to remember to run something to set that version number, to increment that version number, and so on. And a lot of times, that wouldn't be, it wouldn't only be in one place. I would have to go and change it in a couple of different places, and that wasn't ever any fun. So, and I tried a couple of different things. I can automate it mostly with a make file, and I'll put it in there, and I'll have a sed thing that goes through all the different things that does have this version variable somewhere, and I'll put a number in there, and so on. But then, how do you know what the number was? How do you know what you're incrementing it to? And how do you get that information to your make file? I mean, you can pass an argument in and so on. It was a mess. It was more trouble than it was worth. AutoTools makes that so easy. There's like one variable in one file. You change that and it gets distributed as needed. It's beautiful. And you can do that with more than just the version. It doesn't have to be just the version number. It could be other things too. It can be any manner of variables, really. So AutoTools makes that really, really easy. Once you learn it, you know which of the sort of like the three vital files that AutoTools needs to get sort of start out from. You learn where those go, and then you just don't have to worry about it anymore. You make those changes, you commit it, or you push it to your repo or whatever you do, and you build it and you make your distribution copy, and everything's there. It's just done for you. Speaking of everything being there and everything being done for you, so that was the third reason, versioning and sort of variable handling across the project. The fourth, fifth, and sixth reasons are technically just kind of they're cheats. I think I've already actually said everything, but I'm going to go ahead and mention them just to kind of emphasize them, because they are a big deal. It's worth mentioning. So here, reason number four is, you're building for various OSs for free. You don't have to account for the fact that your project might be installed, it might be built and installed onto a Mac or a Windows box. I'm assuming in this scenario that you've developed for Linux. So you've developed something, and maybe you're not even sure it will run on another platform, but someone out there has the idea that they're going to build it and try it, and maybe they'll give you some patches to upgrade some or to change something so that it works better on other platforms. The point is, for them to get even that far, they have to get it onto their system. Now, we could argue, well, you know what, if they're going to go to all that trouble, then let them figure out their own shell script. I mean, it's not going to be that hard. This mythical person is going to be familiar enough with all of this stuff to be able to figure that out, right? Well, not necessarily, first of all. And then secondly, it's just not, you're asking someone else then to sort of reinvent a wheel or to cross a distance that you could have already crossed with AutoTools. With AutoTools, you can't fathom the number of lines of code that you get. Oh wait, so that was reason four. Reason five is something that I'm mentioning now by accident, but it is related. You get a lot of code for free with AutoTools. You just get a big dump of code after you run that ./configure and all of these other commands. You get a bunch of really, really smart environment checking type of code for free. Stuff that you don't ever have to write yourself. You don't even have to look at it. You just get it. And some of that code is accounting for a different platform, a platform that you may well never have expected your program to be installed on at all. You just never gave it a second thought. Or maybe you couldn't test it on that platform either, because maybe you don't have a Mac lying around at your disposal. Maybe you don't have a Windows box lying around to test this thing on. But it's open source. People should be able to run it on any platform that they please. And so if you wrap that up in a GNU AutoTools container, not literal container, sorry, if you put it into a AutoTools present box with wrapping, then you hand it off and people can just run AutoTools. They can configure and it's all calculated. It's figured out. The system detects, oh, well, you're not using, you know, you don't have this path, so we'll default over to this path instead, and so on. So it's definitely worth doing for broader support. That's reason number four. And then reason number five is you do get a lot of code for free. You get a lot of checks and system probes completely for free. Lots of stuff is managed for you. It kind of boggles the mind if you ever look at it. There's just a lot of code there, but it's stuff that you didn't have to worry about, and it helps ensure that what is being built is pretty rock solid. It's pretty robust stuff, because it has checked lots of things for you. And that's good. That can't be bad. Awareness of what the system requirements are is definitely a good thing. And then finally, the sixth reason that I've got for you is that all-in-one sort of configuration step for you as the developer, not the ./configure step, but the part where you're rolling all of the auto tool configuration files that you need to do in order to make .configure make install actually function. Once you do that, you do that once, you know, you configure or you type in your little code to configure AC and make file AM and all these other files that you have to do for auto tools. But once you've done it, you get a build system for you, for yourself, for testing and so on. You get a build system for your users, so you can build a distributable package out to users. You also get a build system for packagers, which may be the same or may be different. It kind of depends. And so everyone wins from really one configuration step, from one initialization process. Everyone gets what they need in order to build and run your code. And that's a great feeling for everybody, because there's just no question about how to do it. There's no question as to whether it will work on their machine, whether it will at least put itself into the places where one would expect on their machine. And ideally it does work on their machine. I mean, generally speaking, if it compiles and builds installs. I said compile and build, but what I mean is that, yeah, it compiles and everything goes into the folders that it is meant to locally, and then they install it onto their machine. Then it generally runs. I mean, not always. There are exceptions. You know, your code might be bad. Their system might be especially screwy that no one could have ever anticipated. But generally speaking, it runs. And it's really easy with auto tools. Okay, so just to reiterate, that was six reasons. You heard them, you counted them. But just to reiterate, GNU Auto Tools is not necessarily the easiest thing to use, okay? So, you know how Git is pretty easy. You do Git, init, return, and suddenly the directory that you've just done that in is a Git repository. Bang, it's done. You're good to go. You are now using Git. That's not exactly how GNU Auto Tools works. It's a little bit more manual. There's a lot of configuration that you have to learn. Like, there are little bits of configuration files, build files, I guess, that you have to construct basically from scratch. It's a little bit scary, you know? You open up a configure.ac file and you think, what is a .ac file and what do I put into it? So it can be intimidating. It is not a shell script. It is not something that you are familiar with yet, probably, unless you're using it. But if you're seeking to learn GNU Auto Tools, this is all new to you. This is not something that has really an equivalent. You're not writing in Lisp if you're an Emacs person. You're not writing in Bash if you've been practicing Bash for all these years. It's just completely different. It's utterly new, and there will be moments of discomfort and frustration. That said, I just gave you six really good reasons why it's actually worth it. In the next episode on this very network, Hacker Public Radio, I am going to teach you how to use GNU Auto Tools on your own project. And after you hear that episode, you will be empowered and excited to go use GNU Auto Tools. I promise. Listen to my next episode. Try to prove me wrong.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.